Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have joined us on today, and I know that God have a tremendous blessing for you on today. So come on in and make yourself right at home. Grab your Bible as we walk through the Word of the Lord on today. Our lesson is on the holiness of God, and we're going to be looking throughout the Scriptures in reference about the holiness of God. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that you are going to be tremendously blessed on today as you learn more about God and God's holiness. So come on in with anticipation and watch what the Lord is going to do for you on today. Amen. So let's take a look here. As you're settling in, and we're going to look at the scriptures reference around the holiness of God. And our scripture foundation in which we're going to be looking at on today is one is 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 15 through 16. And it reads on this line, "But as he which hath called you in holy is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." The next scripture foundation that we're going to be looking at again today, referencing the holiness of God, is Isaiah chapter number 6, verses number 1 through 8. And it reads on this line, "And in the year that Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the cherubims, and each one had six wings, and with twain, and had covered his face, and with twain had covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the serpents unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the thongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon the mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lip, and thy iniquity is passed away, and thy sins purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Now let's look at 1 John verses 1, verses 5 through 7. This is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness, we lie, and do not have truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So far, the reading of our scriptures that we'll be looking at today, and we'll be talking about more scriptures too in referencing about the holiness of God. Now, we must recognize that God's holiness is revealed throughout his word, throughout the scriptures. We become like him as he is revealed to us. Those who would be his follower must live holy lives. We must live a holy life. Now, let's look at some of the things that we'll be looking at. We'll be looking at God's character being described. Then we're going to look at God's holiness being declared, and God's holiness causes a response from his people and growth towards God's holiness. And so that's what our lesson on today, or our talk on today, is going to be centered around. And so let's take a look at that on today. We must recognize that the holiness of God is the basis of all studies on the subject of holiness. God proclaimed himself to be holy and admonished his people that they too must be holy, even as he is holy. The scripture plainly declares, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14. Therefore, we have a mandate for a personal accusation of the holiness of God. However, in order for us to be holy, even in a measure, we must first come to understand and the understanding and the appreciation of the holiness of God. Otherwise, we will wrestle with God or wrestle with the holiness of God. Now, let's take a look here. An understanding of the holiness of God must be based on the knowledge of who he is and the essence of his nature. Once we begin to grasp this truth, we will grow up in appreciation of his holiness and begin to relate to and even receive his holiness in some measure in our own lives. In this lesson today, we are going to be studying or looking at the elements of God's nature, which in turn lead us to a greater understanding of his holiness. We come to know him in a greater way, personally, and thus we are able to grasp more of his awesome power and purity. This is possible because the scriptures reveal that his holiness come to us through the infilling of the Holy Ghost and by our study of and obedience to the Word of God, his words. Now, since concepts and views on how the holiness of God is applied in our life range from one extreme of perception to another, it is essential that we begin with the true understanding of God's holiness. Moreover, since we are living in a critical hour of human history, it is important for us as people of God to appreciate God's holiness in salvation, and to maintain a walk of holiness as we approach the closing of this particular age or time. God's holiness is not related to man's righteousness. While it is true that God calls us to righteousness and man's view in this direction is commendable, the Bible declares that man's righteousness is as filthy rags. And you'll find that over in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse number 6. The whole idea of God's plan for man's redemption assumed that man himself must be changed by the power and the purity of God. This does not imply that certain visible standards a behavior and dreams are not required of Christians or the child of God. The motivation behind such practice is the key. Indeed, any effort to be more like God and more obedient to his word are noted of God. When a person is inquired by the holiness of God to submit to God in holiness, God is well pleased. However, when an individual allows such activity to breed a spirit of self-righteousness and claim a self-glory, the possibilities of blessing is destroyed. The individual has blatantly and sinfully turned from God's grace to his own works. We must recognize God's holiness God, holiness is His alone. We appropriate or appreciate in this a holiness in measure, and we share in the blessing, but we are not the source of our own holiness. Our holiness is communicated to us by God, and it is His holiness, not ours. In His love, He imparted His holiness to us. And so we must recognize that God has imparted His holiness to us. Amen. Now let's look at the character of God, God's character described. And let's take a look at this here. In order to gain clarity of the holiness of God, we will examine His character and nature through the study of His word on these subjects. Now, let's look at some of the characteristics of God. The first characteristic is fair. God is fair in His dealing with His people. The scriptures declare that God is just. This measures that He is always fair and never biased on His dealing with His own creation. Apostle Paul perceived that God is no respecter of person. Acts 10 and 34. The book of Revelation clearly describes the judgment of God as true and righteous. Revelation 19 and 2. In the writing in the first epistle of John, we observe that He is faithful and just. 1 John 1 and 9. In this particular statement, we perceive not only the fairness of our holy God, but also His forgiveness of confessed sin to be just or fair. One characteristic of the Holy God, therefore, is His fairness to all people. We perceive that God's willingness to forgive, confess sin, is an act of holiness. Indeed, it is through repentance, water baptism, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost that God imparts to us His nature of holiness. And when we look at the word aspect of God being fair to all men or everyone, He's calling everyone unto repentance, giving everyone that opportunity to repent of their sins and to come into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, true fellowship. Now let's look at point number two, is faithfulness. This is the next characteristic that we'll talk about the characteristic of God. And we know that there are many more, but this is what we're talking about around, centered around His holiness. It says, scripture state that God is faithful to perform that which belongs to His nature, even His holiness. God's nature manifests itself in action, and our nature also results in action. The most awesome example of His being was manifested in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He proved His faithfulness in the incarnation and in His perceptive. Jesus is the ultimate example of God's holiness as understood in human terms. God is faithful and just to forgive our sin upon our confession of sin, and He is faithful and just to keep His promise to save our soul, to heal our body, to change us, to deliver us, to bring us to an eternal home with Him. His faithfulness is a part of His holy nature. When He brings any one of us to a stature of faithfulness, He is imparting His holiness in us. Now, let's look at the next point. The next point is truthful. The Bible states that it is impossible for God to lie. This reveals yet another aspect of the essence of God. He will not violate His nature of truth. Jesus Christ manifested His truth. Conversely, the devil is called a liar and the father of lies. And you'll find that over in John 8:44. Truthfulness is the essence of God's nature. His word is true. His promises are true. His prophecies are true. And He walked in truth in Jesus Christ. The truthfulness of God should fill us with awe and care, especially when we read the admonition in his word, to be careful to receive a love for the truth and to take heed that we are not deceived, to not believe a lie and be damned. And that's over in 2 Thessalonians 2, chapter, verse number 10 through 12, Matthew chapter number 24. Indeed, truthfulness is a part of holiness. Although heaven and earth will pass away, his word of truth will remain forever. Matthew 24, verse 35, John 17 and 17. Let's look at the next point. God's character is loving. Loving, perhaps the most widely accepted characteristic of God is that he is a loving God. The Bible plainly declares God is love, 1 John 4 and 8. Jesus states that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, John 3:16. When God manifested himself in Jesus Christ and willingly submitted to the anointing work at Calvary, he demonstrated his love for the lost humanity. Love is the underlining, and I'll speak that again. Love is the underlining motivation in the heart of God. God is love. God's love is his nature. It is his being. And love is at the center of holiness. When we begin to comprehend God's fairness, faithfulness, truthfulness, and love, we are well on the way to knowing the revealed holiness of God. Can you just shout hallelujah? And we must recognize that holiness of God and the characteristics of God and that we just talked about. And like I said, there are many more than these that which we talk about right now. We've talked about the fairness of God, the faithfulness of God, the truthfulness of God, and the loving characteristics of God. Now, let's go on to our next point for today. God's moral characteristics is holiness. It may at first glance seem a bit contradictory to say that all of the foregoing characteristics of God are a part of his holiness, than to say that the supreme characteristic of God is his holiness. Nevertheless, both statements are true. God's holiness is the sum total of those parts that make up his total character. Moreover, his holiness must be seen in this distinct light that it is his alone and that is ultimately complete and pure. God's holiness is so pure that it is unapproachable by common carnality. And you'll see that over in scriptures. When you look at Exodus 3, verses number 1 through 6, Exodus 19, verse 19 and verse number 21, Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 20, also Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 21. In the light of this, only when repentance is employed and the blood is applied can humanity go beyond the veil into the presence of God and receive the blessing that he wants to impart into the lives of his people. Interestingly, one of the blessings he desired to impart into us is his holy nature. Now, as we progress on, as we move right now to the next point, we're going to look at God's holiness being declared. His holiness is declared by himself. When Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh, he came to the backside of the Midian desert. One day his attention was attracted to a flaming fire in a bush that was now consumed by the fire. When Moses turned to look at this mighty miracle, God spoke from the burning bush and warned him to not come near, but to take off his shoes where he was. The place he was standing was holy ground. Exodus 3, verses 1 through 6. As God revealed himself to Moses, two truths became clear. First, God precluded Moses from approaching too closely in his present condition. Moreover, much later, when God conversed with Moses at Sinai, he cautioned him about the danger of allowing the people of Israel to come too close to the mountain of God and to transgress his holiness, for then his judgment will bring swift destruction upon them. God's holiness is so pure that common, unredeemed, and uncovered humanity cannot approach God and live. It is enlightening to note that God's holiness meant separation from sin. In the initiation of the sacrificial worship system in the wilderness tabernacle, only the high priest was allowed to enter the holiness of holies, and that only once a year. Even then, he could only enter after sacrificing for his sins and the sins of the people. After completing the washing rituals and putting on the high priest's robe, the failure to comply would lead to the death of the high priest. Second, when God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush and announced that the place was holy ground, he revealed a divine principle that is applicable to his own relationship to God today. When God revealed himself to anyone, it is a holy atmosphere and to be respected by us. God's presence makes the place a holy place. Now, let's look at the next point here today. Declared by the angels. And again, we're talking about the holiness of God. Isaiah the prophet was given a vision of the Lord high and lifted up. Isaiah 6 and 1. This vision revealed the angel of God proclaiming his holiness, crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Isaiah 6 and 3. Their proclamation extolled the holiness of God. The presence of God evokes praise, and it will evoke worship, and as well as a desire to declare his holiness. God's holiness that filled the temple caused Isaiah to realize his uncleanness as well as that of his peers. When he saw the Lord, he understood the unworthiness and confessed it. In his confession, he declared a need for cleansing, and an angel from God appeared and took a live coal from off the altar and touched Isaiah's mouth with it. Thus the altar of God cleansed him from his sin and purged him of his iniquity. God's holiness is so glorious that the angel proclaimed it, and sinners are made to confess their uncleanness. God's mercy and love towards us moved him to give his son for our sins so that he may impart his holiness to those who make their way to the cross by faith, repentance, and water baptism in his name. The Apostle John wrote about the angelic proclamation with regards to God's holiness, and we'll find that over in Revelation 5, verses 11 and 12. The residents of heaven rejoice in the holy presence of God, for God has redeemed them from sin and opened the books for them to enter into the glory of his holiness. Every person has fallen short of God's glory, but the cross is the way that leads out of our failures into his marvelous light. And I want you to grasp that, child of God. Yes, my child, a child of God that is listening right now, that it is the cross of Calvary that will lead us out of our failures and lead us into God's marvelous light. Let's look here. His holiness presence invoke our praise and worship, and we fall before him and submit our lives to his service. We are made like him through the new birth, but we want to become more like him and as long to change again when he returned to for us as his bride. 1 John states, 3:2, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now let's look at a next one that declared the holiness of God. Now, child of God, stay with me because you are going to be blessed. And I believe God is going to bless you in a profound way as your understanding is being enlightened and your heart is being opened and understanding is being greatly understanding the concepts and the precepts of the Word of God. Now, let's look here at what the apostles declare. God gave birth to the church and poured out his Spirit upon those whom he called, empowering his followers to serve him and to become the Son of God. See John 1:12. He effected his regenerating work through our faith and obedience and by giving us the Holy Ghost. Look at Titus 3:5. God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was conceived by Mary when she was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. God also poured out the Holy Spirit upon his followers on the day of Pentecost. The new birth experience is now promised to repentant and obedient people in every nation. The infilling of the Spirit is an essential part of the salvation experience. The indwelling Spirit is also necessary for accomplishment of the purpose of God. The apostle reminds us that God has called us to be holy even as he is holy. This can only happen through the infilling of his Holy Spirit. But we are responsible to be holy in all manner of conversation. This means that we are to live free from sin, reflecting his moral purity by manifesting a lifestyle of obedience to God's word. The emptiness of the law of Moses was that the law was holy, but the people did not have an experience of holiness. Mankind could never be holy without a transforming experience, a new birth of water and spirit. On this side of the cross, we have a way not only to turn from sin, but to experience a regeneration of the spirit. And it is through the impartation of God's spirit into our lives. This makes holy living not only a possibility and reality, but also a requirement from God. Now, let's take a look here at the next point. God's holiness is going to cause a person to respond. It's going to cause a response from his people. And let's take a look at that because God is requiring a response from his own creation. Amen? Let's look here. Respond to seeing him. Seeing God even in the measure of his holiness invoke awe and reverence, but it also allow us to see God's majesty. When Isaiah saw the glory of God filling the temple, he lamented his own uncleanliness and falling and failing and his sinfulness. Thus, we know that God's glory contains his holiness, or perhaps we could say that his holiness or his glory is his holiness. But merely seeing God's holiness is inadequate, for we must be cleansed of sin so that we can experience his holiness in our lives. And so God's glory, which is his holiness, his splendor of God. He wants to display that in our lives as never before. So child of God, give God that opportunity for his glory and his splendor to exude through your life. Will you be willing? And the invitation is there for you if you would accept God's invitation. Now let's look here at the respond to his majesty. Now we talked about the respond to seeing him and what Isaiah did. He began to confess about his uncleanliness and his failures and his sinful state and things. But now let's look at responding to them. Being in the manifest presence of God's holiness brings conviction to even the sinner and inspired worship among the redeemed. No child of God take holiness lightly, for it is God's nature. It is God's glory. It is God's majesty. The wicked person may scorn, but a saved person will break forth in worship, praise, adoration, and honor to God. He will praise God in the beauty of holiness. And that's what is so profound about the beauty of holiness, that when an individual or a child of God walk into the beauty of the holiness of God, it automatically denotes or require a response from our heart of praise and worship unto God. One expression of praise that is often used in the church service in the heaven is the word hallelujah. It is the same in all languages, a praise to Jehovah in word and heart, recognizing him as the Lord of our lives. In Revelation 19, the word appears 4 times in the first 7 verses with other expression of worship to the King of Kings. See Revelation 15. This passage confirmed that worship and triumphant praise to God flow freely from those who know God and whom God has made to share in the victory of Christ over the forces of evil. And so we must recognize that when we come into that presence, when we come into the glory and the majesty of God, it's going to cause a response. It's going to cause you to lift up your hand and give adoration to God, to praise God. Some will fall down on their face and praise God and worship God. Others would lift up their voices and cry, "Holy unto the Lord, hallelujah unto our God," because of the majesty of his glory has filled the temple. And when the individual received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that majesty or that glory comes into that earthen vessel, and that earth, the glory of the Lord fills that temple, that tabernacle, that individual with the glory of the Lord. Can you just shout hallelujah? I just felt the glory of the Lord just exuding right there. And I just want you just to stop for just a moment and just praise God with me. Oh God, we praise you. We shout hallelujah unto your name for your majesty, oh God, for your nature, for your character, because you alone is holy. You alone is righteous, oh God, and we praise your name, oh Lord, our Lord. How excellent, God, is thy name, oh Lord. Oh, I feel like preaching right now, but this is a talk show, so you pray as we lift up the praises of our God. He's worthy of the praise, glory, and honor. Can we shout hallelujah? And when we remember, I want you to remember something that we just talked about. When we say hallelujah, it is a universal language in all languages. It is a praise to Jehovah in words and in heart. And I want you to recognize that when you say that word, you're recognizing God as Lord over your life, even though it means all praise be unto God. But every time you shout hallelujah, you're saying, God, you are Lord over my life. And I declare it and announce it throughout the airwaves, throughout the earth, that you alone is Lord. Now, let's look here at the growth towards God's holiness. One of God's purpose is that we grow towards the stature of the fullness of Christ. See Ephesians 4:13. God's holiness is imparted through the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And while this initiating experience is necessary to enter the kingdom of God, it is also necessary for us to grow towards God's holiness. This does not mean that we will achieve perfect holiness in our life, but it does set our attitude towards holiness, just as a ship set its sails for a destined port. The Spirit of God given to us is God, but we are not God incarnated as was Jesus. We struggle with our carnality, and sometimes we stumble into sin. But God is our strength and our salvation. He gently picks us up when we fall, and he cleanses our heart and hands when we sin. Of course, we must want to get up and make our requests known to God. We must repent when we sin and allow Jesus to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The scriptures declare without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Isaiah 9:22. The central part of God's dealing with Israel is in the Old Testament was the tabernacle and later the temple. The one event that made fellowship between God and man possible was the annual atonement for sin. Of course, there were daily sacrifices of animals with the shedding of the blood, but the atonement typified the one sacrifice and offering of sin that Jesus made for us on the cross. By his death on the cross of Calvary, Jesus shed his precious and innocent blood for every person, for without whosoever will believe and accept him. Through the cross, we attain the forgiveness of sin and the infilling of God's Spirit. There is no end to God's forgiveness by the atoning blood of Jesus and no limit to the transforming presence of the Spirit of God in our lives. Now let's look at First John 1:7. And the scripture said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, let's take a look at that, at the aspects. And we're going to look at our next series at the aspects of the two aspects of the shedding of the blood. And this is very important, so I want you to please take note and prayerfully ask God. If you don't have clear understanding about the atonement and the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, before you denounce it or attack it or walk away from it, ask God for a clear understanding of the things that you don't know and things that are there in the scripture or in the word or in the text, and God will give you clarity and God will give you understanding if you are asked of God. To experience the holiness of God in a daily living requires the blood of Jesus, for the cross is both our crucifixion and our lives. See Galatians 2:20. The blood have a twofold application. Now I want you to get this. First, it is a covering, a hiding of the sin from God's judgment. Our lives are hid with Christ, and our affection are now on the things above. See Galatians 3, verses 1 through 4. Now, I want to go back over that so that you can grasp that and write it down. Why it is important for the shed blood of Jesus Christ and even the baptism in the name of Jesus. First, it is the covering, the hiding of our sin from the judgment of God. Our lives, now get this, this is the pivotal point here that is very key for you to get this, and I'll say it again. Our lives are hid with Christ, and our affection are now on the things above. Now, that does not negate the fact that when you get baptized in that name, that your sins are remitted. And now you are hid with Christ, covered with Christ. And so that's key. That is a very key element for you to recognize about the blood of Jesus Christ. Now let's go to the point number two. Then the blood of Jesus is a cleansing and changing of our soul. That blood that was shed of Jesus Christ, it's going to cleanse, and not only will it cleanse, it's going to change the nature of that soul, amen, the appetite, the desire. Jesus Christ's sacrificial blood cleansed the blackness sins from our soul so completely that we have no condemnation of our past sins. See Romans 8 and 1. We feel as if we are innocent, that we have never sinned. Of course, we remember our sinful past, but we have no guilt since the blood of Jesus washed our sins away. And that's the key right there, that it washes the sins away and the guilty stain of sin away from our mind, spirit, and soul. And that's key for you to understand, child of God, of the relevancy of the baptism in the name of Jesus. And we cannot, as children of God, let go of the truth. God said, love the truth. Now let's look at the next point. It said, we joy in the cross and take pleasure in living the crucified life with Christ. His abundant grace assure us that what he started in us, he will complete. His mercy upon us takes away the fear of judgment. In his spirit, we experience righteousness, peace, and joy. Romans 14 and 17. The Apostle Paul wrote, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1 and 21. And I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Galatians 2 and 20. But he never felt that he attained to all that God had provided, that there was plenty of room for him to grow in Christ. He also wrote, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. God's holy majesty draws us every day towards greater heights and deeper depth in him. Let's look at our closing. We must recognize that those two principles and applications that I just shared with you about the blood of Jesus, it is very important for you to understand that and grasp a hold of that and things. That's why he sent his son. That's why his son, Jesus Christ, died for us, for the atonement of sin, the appeasement, the purchasing of this church. Don't you know that you are his prized possession and that God loves you so dearly? Did you know that he loves you in spite of all of the failures, in spite of all of the hard things that you have gone through in your life, the things you may have done and said? God loves you. He died for you over 2,000 years ago. He sent his only begotten son that you may have life today, that you don't have to live no longer under the guilt and shame of your failures, of your sins, of your disappointments, of the betrayals of people in your life. All you have to do is accept the invitation that the Lord Jesus Christ has for you daily. Come unto me. All you have to do is come unto God. Repent of your sin. Turn from your ways and turn unto God, and God will hear and answer your prayer. He's waiting just for you. Just for you. All you have to do is just turn back to God. I don't care how hard the test may have been. I don't care who had let you down. I don't care who had talked about you. I don't care how people have mistreated you. Even in the church, I don't care. God still yet loves you, and God wants you to know, as this voice is crying in the wilderness, even right now to you, that God wants to display and impart to you his holiness and his righteousness so that you can be partakers of that and learn of God and be able to experience God in a way that you never ever experienced of God before. I can feel the hunger. I can feel your thirst even right now to know more of God. He says, seek me with your whole heart and mind. Did you seek God? Or did you just talk about him? Or do you just know of him? But did you diligently seek God? And if not, if you answer that deep question down in your heart, and when this airing go off, I want you just to ask yourself, did I truly, deeply seek God with my whole heart, mind, and soul, and all of my strength and might? Did I do that? I may have did it with my heart. I may have did it just with my mind, but did you with it seek God with every aspect that I just mentioned? Your whole heart, mind, soul, might, and strength. And go back and say and ask yourself that question. And if that question comes up and saying, well, I didn't with all of those aspects, but I did with a couple, then I will invite you, and I know God would invite you, to go back and to seek him with your whole heart, mind, and soul, strength, and might, with the every fiber of your being, the essence of you, of who you are. Seek God with no agenda, but just the purity of God, the beauty of God and his holiness. You may have sought his word, but now it's time to go higher. Lord, I come to you because I want to seek all of you, your holiness, your righteousness, your faithfulness, your truth, God. I want it. And God said, you will be found of him. You will be found of him. And things when you seek him with your whole heart and mind. So go back, child of God. God is awaiting for you, just standing at the door and knocking at the doorways of your heart. Seek his righteousness and his kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you, child of God. And so I pray that you're blessed. I just feel an anointing, a special anointing of the majesty of the blessings of the Lord just hovering over this session right now. And I pray that it will just exude to you. That it will just come to you right now where you at. And as you worship God in the beauty of holiness, and when you think about the goodness of God and all that He is, our souls cry out, hallelujah, saying, Lord, you are Lord over my life. Not the test and the trials and the vicissitude of life that is going on, not how people are treating me right now, but you are still yet Lord over my life. And as you talk to God like that, He's going to bless you. Commune with Him and watch God do a profound work in your life from this day forward. God is beginning a great work in your life, child of God. Now we must recognize in our closing, God's holiness is revealed in the Word of God and shared with us by the infilling of His Spirit. Through the impartation of His Spirit into our life, we behold His glory and are changed towards being like Him, towards the same image for glory to another glory by His Spirit. And you'll find that over even in Scripture, 2 Corinthians verses 3 through 8, 3 and verse number 18. God has commanded, be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter 1, verses 16. As sinners are found ourselves falling short of God's glory, but through the cross we lose our sin through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and enter into His holiness. This does not mean that we are holy in ourselves, but that through Christ's death, for we are and can enter into His holiness. We cannot attain holiness on our own, but He makes us holy. But holiness is also to be experienced and lived out daily. We are to lay aside the sin and the weight that trouble us. What is troubling you? Lay it aside. Don't let it beset you. Whatever is troubling in your heart and your mind, just take it and just lay it to the side. Even if you have to write it down on a piece of paper to visualize it, and just take that piece of paper as signifying symbolically as you laying whatever it is troubling to the side. It says lay aside every sin and weight that so easily beset us. And run this race with patience, child of God. And we are to grow towards the statues of the fullness of Christ. We are to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and all filthiness of the spirit. And you'll find that over in 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. And we are to grow towards the statue of the fullness of Christ, according to Ephesians 4 and 13. So, child of God, I pray that this lesson has given you a much greater understanding of the holiness of God. Also, about the two main aspects of the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. It was for a covering and hiding, and it was for the cleansing and the changing of our lives, to cleanse us from all our sins and iniquity, and to hide us in Christ Jesus, our life being hid in Christ, as well as for us to be cleansed, or our souls, our nature to be changed, and desiring the affection of the things that are on high. So, child of God, I pray that this lesson will bless you as you take a deeper look, as the invitation was made, as you take a deeper look into the things of God. He's waiting, just waiting on you to come unto him. The next point that we looked at God's holiness that was declared by himself over in Exodus 3, 16 and chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, by the angel over in Isaiah 6 and 3, by the apostles over in 1 Peter chapter number 1, verses 15 through 16, and we also looked at the characteristics of God. And this will remember, bear in mind, this is just some of them, not an inclusive, all exhausted study of it, but this is just some of God's character. And that was that the fairness of God to all people, to the faithfulness of God, the truthfulness of God, and his loving kindness unto his people. And we must recognize that in our conclusion, God's holiness is always revealed throughout his word. And we must become like him as he revealed to us his true holiness. Though we be as his followers, we also must live holy lives as well. 1 Peter 1:15 through 6 states, but as he hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of communication, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. I pray that this lesson has been a tremendous blessing unto you on today. As I always say, that God loves you, and so do I. And there's a word in my heart and my spirit for the season and spirit for the hour, the word that is resonated in my spirit. If you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one question away from your miracle, one prayer away from your miracle. And if you don't have it now, go back and ask God. Go back and seek. Go back and knock, because the Bible let us know for us to ask and we shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. Go back and knock again and keep on seeking and don't ever stop asking of God. May God richly bless you is my prayer. And remember, if you would like for Pastor Helen to come to your event and be a part of your event, please contact us at our mailing address. You can send a mail, a letter out and things, and we can discuss the Pastor Helen can come and be a part of your event. That mailing address is 326 Union Avenue, Northeast, number 2, Renton, Washington, 98058. Or you can visit our website and send an email to us. We would love to come and be a part of your event. That is as the Lord's will for me to come. Want you to know that God loves you. And God's going to do a great work in and through your life. Well, I want you to know, child of God, don't you dare stop. Get another breath from God and say, God, breathe on me all over again. If you're tired and been in the heat of the battle, look to the hill from which cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And you must recognize he will not suffer your foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not sleep, nor will he slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel will not sleep, nor will he slumber. The Lord is your keeper. He is your shade by day and even by night. I want you to know that God loves you, and no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. I don't care what you see come up against you. You speak the word. Put the word on the matter, amen, and watch God perform it. He said he watch over his word to perform it. God bless you. It's my prayer. This has been the showing of home, and we thank the Lord again for your being with us, and we pray that you have had a blessed time on understanding the holiness of God. Be sure to email me. Be sure to write us if you're a partner with us in the things of God. Just be sure to send us a letter as partners in the gospel, the word of the Lord. We have received some words from all the way from the Philippines. We're looking forward to getting them back in contact with them, to be a part of their ministry, to go and to speak a word at their conference. And we're excited about that. And so we looking forward, if you can just send us a letter out and let us know and things, and we will get back in contact with you. From someone from our office will contact you and talk with you about all of the ramifications. And I know that God is going to bless you. And to my covenant partners across the world, around the world, I want you to know I am so excited about you and about what God is going to do. Give us, send us that letter. And send us a call or email. Preventure, it'd be better to email us. We're looking to hear from you, all of my covenant partners. I want you to know I love you, and most of all, God love you even greater. May God bless you is my prayer, and may the grace of our God continue to shine upon you, and that every one of your needs would be met. I don't care what it is that you have need of in your ministry, in the work that God has given unto you. I know that God is a provider. Send me your letter, your prayer request. I want to agree with you. I want to pray with you. I want to covenant with our prayers that God will bless your ministry and supply all of the needs that you need, that you can propel the gospel throughout the nation. This is the voice crying in the wilderness unto the Lord our God, his people, and those of his household. I pray that you've been blessed. We love you. May God bless you. And guess what? I'm excited about hearing from you. Thank you. I'll be looking for my letter or looking for that email. God bless you. May the grace of our Lord God bless you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.